Anyone have anything you want to say before we read our lesson? Any testimony from anyone? All right, if not, I would like to invite your attention to the third chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And I think I'll read the first 10 verses as a scripture lesson this morning. Again, I want to thank all of you for coming today. And I do desire an interest in your prayers as I stand before you. Beginning in verse 1, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God committeth not. Let me read that again. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now that's my lesson for today. And as always, I pray that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. My subject title today will be The Way Satan Works. The way Satan works. Now last Sunday, those of you who were here, you remember that my subject was the way the Holy Spirit works. And we were in Florida this last week for a few days vacation, and this subject came to my heart down there. And I believe it's still on my heart now. I know it is. And I believe that it's God's will for me to use this as my subject title for today. Now, I do want you to pray for me. There are many scriptures that we could start out with, I guess. We want to magnify the name of Jesus. We don't want to give honor and glory to the devil, you know. But it is important that we be aware of the way the devil works. And you know, in the writings of the Apostle Peter, he said concerning Satan, and I don't seem to be able to get it started, so I'll just turn over there and look at it for our benefit. It's in the 5th chapter, I believe, and I may not be correct. But he speaks of the devil as a roaring lion that is walking about seeking whom he may destroy. And he said that we should give diligence, you know, concerning the devil, because he is the adversary of God, and that's what Peter said, because your adversary, as a child of God, the devil is our adversary, and he will hinder us. You remember the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 that he had purposed to go to Rome to preach the gospel, but he said Satan had hindered him, and he wasn't able to go when he wanted to go. And so Satan does hinder us as God's people. And so I want to speak to you about that this morning for a little while. Now, Satan's name, you know, has reference to the evil power that opposes God. You know, God is the supreme being. He is more powerful than any other. I started to say creature, but God wasn't created. The Bible says that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God dwells in eternity. In fact, he fills eternity. Eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. God fills eternity. There's never been a time when God did not exist. And he created all things. And he has all power. I didn't mean to get into all of this, but it seems like it's necessary to do it. He has all power. And he can do all things. And the Bible tells us that he created the angels. He created a multitude of angels. The Bible talks about the multitude of the heavenly host. And we don't know how many angels there are, but there are many. And there were different orders of angels. There were some who were referred to in the Bible as seraphims. There were some who were cherubim. They were different orders of angels. And we know that there were archangels. We read in the Bible about Michael and Gabriel. And I believe Lucifer was an archangel. God created all of these angels, and he did that sometime before he created the world, because the Bible says, and this is what I understand it to mean in the book of Job, that the sons of God rejoiced when the foundation of the earth was laid. And so the angels are, in fact, the offspring of God because he created them. And he gave them an existence here in the world. And he created them for his honor and glory, and also that they might be ministers to serve you and I, those who would be the heirs of salvation. Now you see, God knows all things. He has foreknowledge. Now, you and I, we have hindsight, and we don't have much foresight, but God knows everything. And so he could create them for the purpose of serving us who are not yet created. And uh, So the angels, they are spirit beings. And they are all free agents. You know, God created man a free agent. Well, he also created the angels as free agents. That is, they have free will. And they can choose to obey God, or they can choose to disobey God. And that's true of all of us as well. We are free agents. We can choose to yield our will to the will of God, or we can choose to rebel against God. But now these angels were created, and Lucifer, you know, I've had this question asked to me, did God create the devil? And I said, no, he didn't create the devil. Lucifer was a holy angel. He was created by God. And he was holy. And I believe, according to what the Bible says, that he was had great beauty. And he had great wisdom. And he was a holy anointed angel. And he was with God. But he decided, and this is where his free will came in, he decided that he would rise up against God. Now, I'm not going to take the time to turn to these passages and read them. You can do that for yourself. But in the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it tells us that he said, I will ascend above the throne of God, and I will be like God. And he rebelled against God. Now, he had a lot of influence. And I want you to consider this as I try to present this to you this morning. The devil still has a lot of influence. He had a lot of influence in heaven. And he influenced a third of the angels to join him in this conspiracy against God. And they did follow him. And you know, that's why God created hell. He didn't create hell for mankind, but hell was created for the devil and his angels, those who followed him in the conspiracy against God. And so that's where the devil come from. He became a devil when he rebelled against God. And he tried to overthrow God and take the throne away from God. But he did not succeed because God is all powerful. And so he was cast out of heaven. In fact, there's a verse of scripture that says in Revelations, it says, woe unto ye inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you. Now, the devil's not in hell now, but we have the promise of the Lord Jesus that he will be. He's in the earth now. He is walking up and down as he was in the days of Job. Walking up and down seeking whom he can destroy. Or who he can keep from serving God. The devil is angry with God. I want you to know that. He is God's adversary. Now, in the book of Job, when Job went to present himself before the Lord, the devil went too. And so in that passage of Scripture, he's referred to as the adversary. He's God's enemy. And he is our enemy. The devil will do nothing good for you. Absolutely nothing. He is evil. He is called the devil because of his diabolical ways. You know, He is evil. And he is the adversary of God. But he is also the adversary of men. And the Bible teaches us, and in fact the word devil there, when it talks about being diabolical, it means that he is one who does evil to another. He tries to keep us from serving God, and he does things that will destroy us and will hurt us. But the main thing I want to get before you today is the influence that the devil has. He is very, very influential. I said a while ago that angels have free will and men have free will. So Peter said, be alert and be vigil. That's the word I'm trying to get. Be vigil. Be alert. Be aware of Satan and his powerful influence because he is seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says, the next verse from the writings of Peter says, whom resist steadfast, be steadfast and resist the devil. And we can do that because the Bible says, if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, there was a comedian. I forgot his name. But anyway, he had this famous explanation for the bad things that he done. He said, the devil made me do it. You know? Well, the devil can't make you do anything. If you'll resist, he cannot force you into doing anything that is evil. Now, he'll try to influence you to do it. And he will make things look wonderful and pleasant and appealing. And if you're not careful, the devil will influence us to do things that we should not do. That we should be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I want you to think with me just for a few minutes of time as we go through this. That holy angel, because of his choice, became a devil. And he became the devil. And he became the adversary. And the not only God's adversary, but our adversary. And it is his objective to rob God of all of the honor and all of the praise and all of the glory that we owe to God. And he will do that if we're not very careful. Now, God made no plan of salvation for angels. You know, there's a difference, you know, between men and angels. God created man, but before he ever made man, he made a plan of salvation for him. Why did he do that? Because of his foreknowledge. Because of the God knew the influence that the devil would have upon man. Do you know when God created Adam and Eve? They were holy. They were finitely holy. They were righteous. They were perfect. There was no sin about them. You know. And they were placed in the Garden of Eden where everything was perfect. It was paradise. And God would come in the cool of the day. And he would have fellowship with them. They enjoyed God's presence. And God enjoyed their presence. But you see, this devil, this Satan, that had been cast out into the earth. He was in the garden also. You can read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 about him being in the garden. He was in the garden. And he appeared. He didn't appear as the devil, but he appeared as a serpent. And that word serpent is used there to indicate his subtlety. He was crafty. He was skillful, you see. And he did not approach Adam and Eve as the devil, but he approached them in a way that he could deceive them. And that's the way the devil works. He is a deceiver. The Bible says that he is a murderer. The Bible says that he is a liar, and he is the father of it. And so he's deceitful, you see. And so he appeared to Eve. He said to her, "Yea, hath God said that you may not eat of every tree of the garden?" And Eve said, "Well, he said we could eat of every tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he told us not to eat of that tree. And he said if we did, we'd die." And here's the devil, very persuasive. He says, "You won't die. Well, you won't die. You know God's a good God, you know. And you know he loves you, and you know you're not going to die." Now that's my explanation. That's not, those words are not in the Bible. But he said, "You'll not surely die. Here's what's going to happen. When you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you'll be as God." You see. And Eve looked at the fruit on that tree. Well, it was beautiful. And it was something that was desired to make one wise. The devil lied to her, you see. He's a liar. He said, "It'll make you wise. Your eyes will be open." Well, he got that right. Her eyes were opened. You know, and she desired that. He had made it so attractive and so appealing that she wanted to do that. He's still doing that today. Amen. He is making sin so attractive and the pleasures of this world so much to be desired that millions of people are falling for his lie. Well, she partook of that fruit, and she gave to Adam, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And you know what? They realized that they had sinned against God. That's what it means when it says their eyes were open. They wasn't blind. But I tell you, they were made aware that they had sinned against God. And they were ashamed of it. And they were afraid. And they went and hid themselves from God, just because of the influence of the devil. The influence of Satan. You think about him influencing a third of the heavenly host to join him in a rebellion against God. They didn't have to do it, but he was so convincing that they did. And he's still convincing people today, you know. But I'm glad of a verse of Scripture that I read in your hearing a few moments ago. I want to refer to this again. And it says, "For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested." And that means that he was born into this world, that he lived among men, and that he showed himself to be the Son of God with power. And he had the power to resist the devil. Shortly after he was baptized. And he didn't get baptized in order to become a child of God. He was already the child of God when he got baptized. But he did it as an example. Every child of God should follow the Lord in baptism. And he made that, set that example. And shortly after he was baptized, he went into the wilderness. The Bible said he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, Jesus set a lot of examples for us, and here's one of them. He was in the desert in one place, in the wilderness, and both of those words mean the same thing. It was a desolate area. And he went into the wilderness, and he was there 40 days. And along came Satan. You know, he's not afraid to thwart God's plan. He's not afraid. He wasn't afraid of God before he was kicked out of heaven. And he wasn't afraid of God in the Garden of Eden. And he wasn't afraid of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus had been there 40 days and he got hungry. And here came Satan. Satan said, command these stones to be made bread if you're the Son of God. And Jesus resisted. He came back with a verse of Scripture. And this is what he said. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did he give up? No, he didn't give up. You know, then he tempted the Lord. And he said this. I may not get them in order. But I could turn to the third chapter of Matthew, or the fourth chapter of Matthew, and I could read them. But you can do that. So I'll let you do it. But he took him up to a high pinnacle of the temple, where the wall of the temple was real high. You know, and he said, cast yourself down. Said, you're talking about the Word of God and what God's Word says. Says, the Word says that he give his angels charge over thee, lest thou should dash thy foot against the stone. Said, go ahead, cast yourself down. We'll see whether anything happens to you or not. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know? Listen, Satan don't give up. That's why we have to be vigilant. That's why we have to be alert. That's why we have to be on guard all the time. Because Satan is trying to get us to do something that God has forbidden. And he's doing that to rob God. That's why he's doing it. He's not doing it just to hurt us. That's not it at all. He's doing it to rob God. And so, Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. He's still working, and he's working on you, and he's working on me. And we have to be alert. Now, devil has many devices. If he don't get you one way, he'll try another, just like he did Jesus. You know? He don't give up. And so, you know what he does? One of the devices he does, when we preach the gospel and we tell people about God's wonderful plan of salvation that he provided by his own grace, that men through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ could have their sins forgiven and could become children of God, and we preach that, and Satan's always in the congregation. And you know what the 13th chapter of Matthew says? the sower soweth the seed. And then comes along that wicked one, and he snatches away the word out of their hearts. See, he distracts. Distraction, that's one of the things that he uses against sinners. He distracts them from the gospel, and he lies to them about the gospel. And if he can get a sinner to listen to him, he will deceive that sinner. And he'll say, well, you know, that might be true, but you've got plenty of time, you know. And he snatches that word away so that people won't believe it and won't trust in the Lord Jesus in order to be saved. You know, Satan, he tears up homes. Did you know it? He does. He tears up homes. I believe this. Brother Buddy, Brother Mike had a good lesson this morning in Sunday school, and I believe what he taught. You know, God established a home. One man, one woman. That's what marriage is, folks. That's what marriage is. But you know what? We're living in a world today when Satan has deceived millions of people. And Satan has told them, you know, you can love a man just as much as you can a woman. It ain't so. It just ain't so. And we ought to love everybody, you know, love one another. But there's a difference between loving one another as human beings and loving a husband or wife. God ordained marriage. God ordained marriage. He created man and he made a woman. He brought her to the man. And he said, a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they too should be one flesh. You know? And so Satan deceives people. You know, he's very active in politics. Did you know that? Satan is a very active politician. You know. And you know, he has got laws passed. And he has influenced judges to overturn the Word of God. You think he's not powerful? He is powerful. He's got lots of things turned upside down. It's a federal law now, you know, same-sex marriage. Where do you think that idea came from? I want to tell you where it came from. It came from the devil. That's where it came from. It came from the devil. When God made man, he made two sexes, and that's all. He made a man and he made a woman. And I believe today that the devil is very powerful. He works in politics. Paul said this in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. He said, stand fast. Stand fast. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Not yield, not give in, but that you can stand. And he said, stand therefore, having done all to stand. Every effort that you put forth to stand for the truth is worthwhile. Stand therefore. He said, having on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded about with truth, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and stand. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, the devil is involved in every facet of life. He's involved in religion. Did you know that? Oh, yes, he's involved in religion. So today, I want you to be very, very much aware of the influence of the devil. The devil will tell you, well, you went to church last Sunday. No sense of going two Sundays in a row. Of course he does. Of course he does. He'll tell you, you know, you do whatever you want to do, you know. And you can. You can. You can do anything you want to do. God fixed it that way. But he also said what's right and what's wrong. And you know, you can't do wrong and get by. You might for a little while. But like they used to say, the chickens come home to roost. You know, they may get out in the fields during the daytime and hunt and peck for worms and seeds and stuff like that. But when the sun starts going down and twilight comes, they head for the hen house. They go home. And I'm telling you tonight, today, and I'm saying this, I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying this in love. I really am. I'm doing this because I know the influence that Satan has. That's what he uses. Influence. Influence. He tries to influence people to reject the gospel. He tries to influence Christians to ignore the Word of God and just go on and do whatever you want to do. But the Bible says that every work shall be brought into judgment. He creates doubts in the minds of people. He does. We walk by faith and not by sight. And if the devil can get you to doubting, he'll do it. He creates fears in our hearts. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of love and of a sound mind, didn't he? That's what Paul said. He gets in churches and he'll cause us to look at one another with suspicion. You know. And he'll get us to say, nah, I don't really like that person. You know. God says, love one another. Amen. Love one another. Because you're not going to find a perfect person. If you're looking for one, forget it. You can look in the mirror and still won't find one. He breaks up homes. Little children suffer. Because the devil influenced their parents the wrong way. So I just want you to be aware of Satan. Well, he's on the move. He's on the move. Well, I reckon I'm done. But I pray God will bless this message. I didn't think this up, folks. I'm telling you the truth. God laid this on my heart. I believe he done it for a reason. We need to be strong as Christians. We need to put God first. We need to surrender our lives to His service. That don't mean that you don't have a life outside of the church. Not at all. We all have a life outside the church. I took a week's vacation this week. Was that selfish? Maybe it was. But I felt like I needed it. Now, I didn't go to any nightclubs. I didn't go to a bar. Nothing like that. I did go to some seafood restaurants. And I probably sinned. But I want you to know, I love Jesus. And I want to encourage people to love Jesus. And I want to encourage you to love one another. Don't look for faults. Look for virtues. Look for the good things. You know, it'll make you happier. You know, I think probably the most unhappy people in the world that just sits around looks for something wrong with somebody. I'm done. Anyone have anything you want to say?